Well, hello, and this is the Archaeology News Weekly. I am David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. The Invisible Stone Circle. To see or not to see? Why 50,000 BP is a crazy date for an American topper site. Save the Peat Moor Centre in the UK. We've got days left in the campaign. A British site may also hold remains of an ancient settlement. It's being excavated as part of a lottery-funded grant. We will also report on a new excavation on a 3,000-year-old Vietnamese site. The Hill of Tara in Ireland is nominated for World Heritage Site status. And British Rock Art Group 2009 is meeting in Newcastle later this year. An ancient settlement is unearthed in Iowa. And there's a reappraisal of the Indus Vedic civilization at a new conference in the US. The report on Armenian links to Stonehenge. And finish off with rather depressing news of British archaeologists losing their jobs as the recession bites. A lecture by renowned archaeologist Aubrey Burrell will be held in Wiltshire Heritage Museum on Saturday the 21st of March this year. The lecture focuses on stone circles in the British Isles. Every year, hundreds of thousands of people visit them. Sometimes as a sign, usually uninformative, occasionally inaccurate. There may be stones in a ring, tall stones, small stones, fallen stones, but nothing else, just silence. Yet this is in essence untrue. The stones themselves tell their own story, unshaped but intentionally chosen to record the beliefs of the people who erected them. The stones are the literature distant illiterate people left for us to read, if only we know how. Aubrey Burrell was at one time Britain's best-selling archaeological author. His books on stone circles have been published and reprinted in many editions, and he is well known for challenging the theory that the blue stones were brought to Stonehenge from Perthelly by man, and has written extensively on Avesbury. Booking for this lecture is going to be essential, so if you would like to go along to it and you're in the area, then give a phone to the booking secretary on 01380 727 369. That was 01380 727 369. Later this year, the first peer-reviewed report on geostratigraphy of the Topper site in South Carolina in the USA will be published in the Journal of Archaeological Science. The Topper site is a stratified, deeply buried site on the Savannah River, about 50 miles in from the Atlantic coast in South Carolina. Excavated for past 20 years by Al Goodyear and the Allendale Paleo-Indian Expedition, Topper has confirmed archaic and Paleo-Indian occupations, including well-preserved Clovis. That in itself makes Topper remarkable, as there are very few stratified Clovis sites in North America. But below the Clovis are two additional strata, one dated now firmly to 15,000 BP, and the second also now dated firmly to more than 50,000 BP. Both layers have similar lithic tools, what excavator Al Goodyear calls a smashed core and microlithic industry. Former archaeologist and now freelance science writer K. Chris Hurst said that 50,000 years is a completely crazy date for human occupation of the Americas. If Topper turns out to be 50,000 years old, then everything we understand about the world and its population will have to be readdressed. The major question posed by a human occupation in North America 50,000 years ago is, who made it? So far, there's no evidence of Neanderthals in America. So what do we know of Homo sapiens 50,000 years ago? The earliest Homo sapiens appearing in Europe marked the Upper Paleolithic, about 40,000 years ago. The earliest humans appear in Australia about 45,000 years ago. And in fact, the oldest known site in Siberia is the Yana rhinoceros horn site, some 27,000 years ago. This makes 50,000 years of human occupation in America very, very unlikely. Topper poses some real problems trying to explain how you have people arriving in Central Asia almost at the same time as people in Eastern United States. You almost have to hope for instantaneous expansion. Topper clearly has a fabulous Clovis site, and it also may have a pre-Clovis site dating to 15,000 years ago. Excavations are still ongoing, and there certainly may be more to report on, and eventually the sceptics may be proved wrong about the 50,000-year-plus occupation. Or perhaps they won't. It is, I have to say, quite a remarkable sight, and when you come across something which is so far out there, you either have to think that there's some sort of strange anomaly going on here, or, yes, you're going to have to rewrite the whole history of mankind. No mean feat. On the 4th of February 2009, the Executive Committee of Somerset County Council in England resolved to close the Peatmoor Centre at the end of October 2009. The decision is due to be ratified by full council on the 18th of February, only a few days from now. This educational centre just outside Glastonbury is home to reconstructions of Britain's prehistoric past. Huts, looms, bee skips, a boat carved from a single log, and much more can be seen here over the summer months. So why is it being closed down? The area around Glastonbury is unique with its peatlands, which often produce evidence of our past prehistory. Excavations have uncovered one of the oldest roads in the world, the Sweet Track, laid down around the year 3800 BCE. Also the Iron Age Glastonbury Lake Village settlement, dated 300 BCE, which was found in the 19th century. Such rare finds are of great importance, and the Peatmoor Centre highlights Britain's past in a very imaginative way, making the past come to life for its visitors. So why are they closing it? If you want to register your disapproval like I have, get along to Facebook and type in Peatmoor Centre. You'll be able to register your disapproval too. It really is one of these shocking things when you have such an amazing centre, such an amazing educational resource, and when the cuts come, it's sites like this that lose out. An archaeological dig is due to start in Bradford Woodland in West Yorkshire later this month, thanks to a Heritage Lottery grant. A cheque for £24,000 has allowed the Friends of Buck Wood to dig for proof that an iron or Bronze Age earthwork exists at the Thackley site. But conservationists say they're more likely to uncover a buried rubbish tip than buried treasure. Dr. Christine Alvin of Friends of Buck Wood said that the Bronze and Iron Age people weren't a rich culture, so they're certainly not expecting to find buried treasure. They were the original recyclers, she continued, making use of what they had and using it over and over again. Whatever they find will prove interesting, hopefully rubbish heaps indeed, as they can be very, very revealing. They'd also like to prove that there was once a settlement here. A detailed ground survey starts on Saturday, February the 22nd, with help from volunteers, including pupils from nearby Emmanuel College. Archaeologist John Burglass will be in charge of the project, which follows on from his discovery made possible by an early lottery grant in 2006, when historians investigated Buck's Wood past. A team of archaeologists will also be carrying out a geophysical survey. Once all the survey findings have been looked at, it will map out prime sites for a series of trial excavations in the summer. The area to be investigated is in deep woodland and on a flat piece of ground the size of a football pitch. It features a raised platform and what is believed could be the remains of a simple rectangular stone shelter. Volunteers will be invited to return in the summer to help with the dig before the oval-shaped patch of woodland is returned once more to its natural state. Now, if you ask my opinion, this is exactly what archaeology should be doing, involving the community, finding out new things. It is actually great fun, and I'm looking forward to doing the same myself over the summer and the autumn. Archaeologists hope to find traces of Vietnam's ancient inhabitants during a six-month excavation beginning in February the 20th. The excavation of a 2,000 square metre area in the Vinh Yen archaeological site in the south-central province will be the second such exploration. The excavation is scheduled to end in August the 31st. Last August, the first archaeological dig at the site unearthed artefacts up to 3,000 years old, including 10 ceramic and rock structures, 8 tombs, and more than 400 stone, copper and terracotta items. The Tara landscape in Ireland has been nominated by the Meath Archaeological and Historical Society for inclusion in UNESCO's tentative list of World Heritage Sites, currently being drawn up by the Department of the Environment. The Society says the Tara landscape fulfills World Heritage Site requirements, being an archaeological, historical and cultural landscape of outstanding universal value. In its detailed submission, the Society adds that the landscape is a unique archaeological, historical, ceremonial, political and cultural landscape focused around the Hill of Tara complex, which served as a necropolis, sanctuary, ritual and royal centre for successive peoples over thousands of years. Apart from the dense and varied collection of archaeological sites on the Hill of Tara itself, the Tara landscape comprises a rich and diverse collection of archaeological sites and complexes from the prehistoric to the early historic and medieval periods, including burial monuments, habitation sites, ritual and religious sites and complexes, hill forts, enclosures, souterrains and linear embankments, all testifying to continuous settlement and ceremonial use by different cultures over the millennia. The Society pointed out that recent research by the Discovery Programme had uncovered evidence of further sites and complexes, and archaeological investigations associated with the M3 motorway have further testified to the richness of the archaeological remains. The Society's main concerns for the Tara landscape relate to the threat of inappropriate development, the lack of effective legislation protection, and the dangers of neglect and mismanagement. Well, good luck to them there. British Rock Art Group 2009 will be held on Saturday the 9th of May at the International Centre for Cultural and Heritage Studies in Newcastle University. A trip to visit rock art panels in the region may be organised on the following day. Colleagues are invited to present papers on ongoing and completed work in Britain and other parts of the world. The fee has not yet been set, but it will be nominal, just to cover the costs. If you want to get along to that, then contact Aaron Mazel, International Centre for Culture and Heritage Studies at Newcastle University, and give him a phone on 0191 222 7845, or email, and I'll spell this one out for you. It's a.d.mazel@ncl.ac.uk. That was a.d.mazel@ncl.ac.uk. What's left of a ring-shaped American Indian village discovered in Oakville, Iowa, in the US, has been labelled as a rare site in pristine condition by the US Army Corps of Engineers. The Oak Village site was discovered because the Two Rivers levee was scheduled to be realigned after it was breached in the June 2008 flood. During a study required by the National Historic Preservation Act and National Environment Policy Act, the site was labelled as historically significant. The goal of the study is to assess the impact of federally funded projects on cultural resources. A structure was completed in late December 2008 to protect the site. Ben said that the site is too old to tell exactly which tribe lived there, but the remains represent village habitation by prehistoric people called the Weaver culture from 300 to 450 CE of the transitional middle-late woodland period. Seven houses have been identified. The Weaver culture was initially defined as being located in the central Illinois River Valley because of its distinct pottery and projectile points. The Oak Village site is one of only three known ring-midden villages associated with the Weaver culture. Tribe members dug storage pits and middens, or trash deposits, inside the floors of their homes. There have been 60 of these pit features uncovered so far, and the archaeologists will examine the contents. Like other Weaver sites, this one produced fish bones, but also a fair quantity of turtle shell. Though artifacts such as points for stolen tools and awls made of bone have been found, the archaeologists are looking at the vague remains of cache pits, house basins and paleobotanical remains. Experts anticipate recovery of more than 150,000 artifacts that will need to be cleaned, catalogued and analysed in detail, as well as then curated. That'll keep them busy. The true face of archaeology, the hard work after the digging has stopped. Now, while we're still in America, an international conference on the Sindhu-Sarasvati Valley Civilization will be held on February the 21st and 22nd in Los Angeles. Prominent scholars, particularly archaeologists, linguists, anthropologists, historians, religious specialists and geneticists, will discuss the nature of the interrelation between the Indus and Vedic cultures from around 3000 BCE to 1000 BCE. They'll attempt to bridge the chronological, linguistic and racial gap between the material and literary cultures of the Indus and Vedic. A few fundamental questions raised are, who were the people of ancient Indian civilizations? Were they Vedic Aryan or Indo-Aryan, Indo-Iranian or Dravidians? Has archaeological evidence confirmed the existence of common features of Vedic and Indus cultures? Is there an indigenous continuity of the culture in India and Pakistan, or did the people come from outside the subcontinent? Well, it sounds like they've got a lot of questions to answer, and if you want to hopefully hear these answers, then it's worthwhile going along to that conference. The story of Stonehenge and the mystery that surrounds it is familiar to most Salisbury residents, but one man has come to the city to tell people about an ancient circle of standing stones which predates even Wiltshire's World Heritage Site. Vardan Tadevosyan is an Armenian-Spanish historian who visited Salisbury last week to raise the profile of Karahunj, described as Armenia's Stonehenge. Karahunj means speaking stones and is located 200 kilometres from the Armenian capital of Yerevan. It's a huge megalithic monument, the largest of a dozen such types in the area, and is a combination of early mid-Bronze Age burial shafts and a large collection of standing stones. 223 have so far been counted. The stones form an egg shape around a Bronze Age tomb, with four avenues leading off the main circle. Mr. Tadevosyan says that in Neolithic times, the Armenians were much more advanced than most other cultures. A carving found on rocks near Lake Sevan showed that they knew that the world was round, and they had accurately measured latitude. They were already skilled in astronomy, archaeology, and engineering. He believes the earliest population of Britain, which he claims came from Armenia, brought the ideas of Karahunj to Europe with them and played some part in the creation of Stonehenge and other European sites. He plans to put together a leaflet about Karahunj that can be available to the public at Salisbury and South Wiltshire Museum. And curator Adrian Green said he would be happy to display the leaflets about this ancient site. I'm just wondering whether he did it with a wry smile. I have to confess, I'd love to get hold of this leaflet and just find out about these Neolithic archaeologists. Perhaps they were as badly paid as we are. And to continue on that, rather depressing and sad news. Archaeology in Britain is in serious crisis because of the recession-hit building industry, according to those in the profession. By the end of the year, around about one in five of the country's 7,000 archaeologists are expected to have lost their jobs. The profession has expanded rapidly in recent years thanks to legislation that required developers to pay for excavation. But now jobs are going because so many construction projects are being put on hold. In the last quarter of 2008, 345 archaeologists that we know of lost their jobs, according to a research by the Institute for Archaeologists. This year, another 1,000 are likely to go, according to Mike Pitts, editor of the British Archaeology magazine. He added that our industry is in serious crisis, which is something that should concern anyone interested in our nation's rich heritage and history. The shrinking economy is threatening to cut the heart out of the commercial fieldwork. We've entered 2009 with a stalled heritage legislation, with museums in crisis and a fragmented profession, and the potential for 1,000 job losses. Kenneth Aitchison, head of projects for the IFA, said anyone who was made redundant by the cuts would have to find a whole new career path. In the construction industry, if it suffers, then this has a massive knock-on effect on the preparatory industries such as archaeology. Well, keep an eye out on Badger as well, which is part of the concerted effort to try and retain the skills that take so long to learn but can be lost so easily. One of the things that we're looking at is a lot more cooperation between archaeological contractors and the bald fact that, for example, in 2008, there were nearly 5,000 archaeological excavations in England and Wales. Only around about 300 of them weren't involved with development. So we perhaps have to look back to our roots, back to the public, to support us and actually provide them with opportunities to get involved, with skills, with training, with education. We are actually heading for a rather tough 2009. When I first started archaeology way back in the early 80s, I remember the figures were something like there was about 600-700 professional archaeologists in Britain, and now there's 7,000 of us. So perhaps we have to tighten the profession, but this is not going to help all the people who have lost their jobs and are going to be losing their jobs. So keep an eye on Badger, because we are going to be pushing as much as we can to see what we can do, what little we can do, to try and stem the flow. Well, as I say, after that depressing news, you can cheer yourself up with a look at pasthorizons.com. You can get yourself along there. You can look at more volunteer opportunities around the world. Browse the blog, have a look at the magazine, and even listen to this podcast and watch some videos online. You can also come along to Badger, as I've said, to keep an eye on what's going on in the UK. And you'll find us at www.bajr.org. And remember, more can always be found at Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return to us again next week, when I will have just returned from a survey at Lindisfarne.